Wednesdays have just been going kind of as I feel led of the Lord. Been some good things. And I might say, as I think I've said two or three times on these Wednesdays, sometimes I preach to myself and y'all just get to show up and listen in. The Bible talks about David encouraging himself in the Lord. That's a skill you need to have. You know, because we don't have church every day and every night, or I guess you can always find something internet to listen to in terms of good preaching. Lots of things are available. So encouraging yourself. I know I sure need to at different times. Turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. The situation here is the archangel Gabriel, which, by the way, he seems to be the archangel for messaging. And Michael is the archangel for war. Michael's the warrior, Gabriel is the messenger. But Gabriel appears to the young Mary and announces to him that she will have a child and his name will be called Jesus. He'll be Savior of the world and so on. You're familiar basically with the story that she makes this announcement to him. After she says this, she is, of course, engaged to be married, betrothed, but not married, not yet having had her husband or husband-to-be. And so when it's announced that she's pregnant, she knows she's not been with a man, she asks an obvious question. How can this be? Right? I mean, when she shows up pregnant, everybody else is going to ask, how can this be? Right? So she asks the angel who brings her the message, how can this be, seeing I know not a man or don't know a man or have not been with a man? Or phrased simply, without a man. How can this be without a man? And that's where we're going to pick up the story, verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Let's think about those couple of things there for a moment. There are things that your heart believes that your head says, I don't get this, right? And you can have doubts in your head, unexplained things in your head. Your head can't figure it out, but your heart knows it to be so. And you'd have to say, this is an example of that. Almost, well, I would say every Christian I know of believes Jesus, sinless man, why? Born of a virgin. Not fathered by a man. Sin nature is passed from man to child. You know, we accept that. Born of a virgin, born of a virgin. Well, explain it to me. Can't. Don't understand it. I mean, exactly how did this happen? Okay, how exactly did it happen? Well, it says so right here. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and the power of the Highest overshadowed her. Yeah, explain that. Just did. Yeah, that's it. That's the explanation. Power of God. The power of God. The power of God. So Mary, a woman, we know that conception is all of the DNA material coming together, and Mary contributes her part, but God contributes what remains or what is needed by the Holy Spirit. Can he do that? Well, he did, right? So he'll be called the Son of God. Verse 36, going on, explaining further. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. And verse 37, and this is where we're after. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Let's say that together. For with God, nothing will be impossible. That'd be a good verse to just have on the tip of your tongue anytime you need it. Just ready. With God, nothing will be impossible. Whenever something comes up and you don't know how you're going to get through it, don't know how you're going to pay for it, you don't know how this is, what is going to happen here, it's threatening, it's dangerous, whatever it is, for with God, nothing will be impossible. That'd be a good way to answer any bad situation. So Mary asks, how can this be? And the angel says, hey, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. So she responds again here, and we'll look at that, after the angel says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And that answered, "How can this be since I don't know a man?" Well, this is God. This is not a man. And it's not impossible for God. Verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." Now, we don't exactly talk that way, but it would be, today it would be, "Well, here I am. Come on, let's roll," or something like that. It's an acceptance and a receiving of what is said. She goes on and says, "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So she responds and answers after hearing, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." She couldn't explain it. She just believed it. That's it. And she receives it in her heart and speaks from her mouth. Now, you all know, we've taught much of the word so many times. It's not only believing, but it's acting upon what you believe. To read something from the scriptures, "By his stripes you are healed," as a for instance from 1 Peter. Well, you can believe that, but if you don't accept it in your heart and say it or act on it, we know that it's unfulfilled. It's incomplete. It's not working yet. So you see here that Mary speaks with her mouth and says, "Let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." Another good verse to remember, or another good thing to say. Just when the Lord shows you a promise or speaks to you, or you hear something preached, just say it. "Let it be to me according to his word." Amen. Yeah, let it be to me according to that word. Or if a minister or somebody prophesies a good word of the Lord over you, an encouragement or something like that, what's the answer? "Well, I don't know." That's not the answer. The answer is, "Let it be to me according to your word." And you might even remind yourself, has a good word of the Lord ever been spoken over you? Somebody prophesy, a minister or something like that? It'd be good to haul that out again. Read it, say it, and then respond to it. "Let it be to me according to your word." Amen. More than one person in the Bible would remind the Lord of his words. What are they doing that for? To remind the Lord? Yes, no. To remind themselves and to stir their faith again. Amen. But saying that is a good, good thing to do. "Let it be to me according to your word." So, Mary believes, Mary accepts, Mary receives, and she speaks. What we're going to concentrate on here is nothing will be impossible. Or the whole thing, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, we know it says that in the Bible, and we've said that to one another from time to time, but it seems to me it's one of those things, we won't do it now, you do it, but it wouldn't hurt you none to say it 50 times. Amen. Get in a quiet place, close your eyes, and just start, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Amen. And say it again, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Amen. If you'll keep at that, I believe the point will come where you get up and you start running around the room, maybe shouting it, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Have you faced anything that seemed impossible? Maybe now something that seems impossible? Maybe it's not right on the tip of your tongue or right present in your mind, but you could think of something that should happen or should happen in your life or was supposed to happen. Maybe you need to speak about it again. Think about it again. "I know that this or that was supposed to happen. Why didn't it? For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And start picking that up again. Amen. I could think of some way out there things that could happen in my life. Can you? I mean, way out there good things. Things that I believe the word is spoken to me about. Things that I believe the Lord himself has spoken to me about. Yet I'm still looking forward to some of those things coming to pass. They seem impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now notice again, it says with God. This is possible. Mary conceiving without a man is possible with God. With God. I find it significant and important that the angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Could have said, for God, nothing is impossible. And a lot of times there's a difference there. And we talk about things like nothing's too difficult for God or nothing's impossible for God. Is that true? Yes and no. There are some things that are impossible for God to do. For one, he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. There's one. Then when it comes to God working with people, you and I, and giving us a free moral agency, a fancy way of saying, he has given you the power of choice and taken his hands off and said, you choose. And whatever you choose, you choose. And if you don't choose to go in this direction, I won't make you. Can't make you. He's given authority to man. For each of us in our own personal lives, we hold that authority. We know from the scriptures that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So as far as the will of God is concerned, he wants everybody saved. But not everybody gets saved. Why? Because he respects their choice to reject him. So can God do anything? The answer is concerning mankind, no. He's limited by the permission an individual gives. Amen. Now, if we're talking something out here in creation, past or future or something like that, God can do anything out there in the universe, has done things that we probably have only a glimmer of insight as to how they work. I still watch some of the science shows on TV that talk about how the universe works, and it's amazing what has been learned and understood, and more amazing what's not yet understood, you know. Like black holes, I think that's pretty much settled. Yeah, there are black holes. What is a black hole? It's where gravity is so strong, even light doesn't escape. So it's like this, something sucks in and nothing ever comes out. And there's actually objects in there, but they can't be seen because the light of them even can't come out. That's a weird thing, right? And I was checking out a little bit of stuff about singularity. You ever hear that term? Singularity? What's singularity? Singularity is the idea, the concept that before there was a universe and all the mass, the substance, the Earth's created of substance, the atmosphere, the planets, the stars, all of that it all started at a pinpoint, the tiniest, almost immeasurable, infinitely small point in space is where everything was, and something happened to throw it out into the expanse of the universe. Well, I know what it was that threw it out. Amen. Amen. And God said, let there be light. That's what threw all those, all substance, all creation from a singularity. Science calls it a big bang, right? I know what the big bang was. It was his voice speaking. Yeah. For God, nothing is impossible. But it didn't say this concerning Mary. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So relating to mankind, it's a partnership. With God. With God. I'm hammering that part tonight. With God. Even when we see a need and go praying about that need, sometimes I think the way we approach it is, God, you can do anything, so I'm asking you to do that thing. As if it's entirely up to him, but he needs our partnership. With God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God. Every impossibility that has happened concerning the history of men, God's dealings with men, things that the people on the earth have done, every impossibility of the past has happened with the cooperation of people. God has not moved and done things on the earth without people cooperating. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. People must believe what God says. And when they do, they can join in partnership with Him and act according to His word. And He, having a man on the earth, I guess I should explain that a little bit. When God created Adam and placed him on the earth, God gave Adam authority upon the earth. This realm of the earth, that's why God brought all the creatures He had created to pass in front of Adam. And in Genesis it says, whatever Adam called them, that was their name. God didn't name the plants and animals. Adam did. Why? God created them and said, here, Adam, this is yours. This is your domain. You're in charge. And what happens here is what you say. Sometimes people get bent out of shape when you say this, but I think you can understand it. Adam was, in effect, the God of the earth. Right. We won't go to any of these, but you know, you can find in scriptures that really describe the authority of man on the earth. But as soon as you get into the heavens, it changes. The authority of man, interesting side note, the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. More than one astronaut has talked about escaping Earth's orbit out into space, and a beautiful calm and a different sense of, I don't know what to do, how exactly you explain it, a lack of an evil presence. More than one astronaut has talked about that in space travel. Get away from the Earth, they don't feel any presence of evil. So mankind has authority on the earth, lost that authority when Adam sinned, and it was yielded to Satan. Further evidenced when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and Satan said, all this earth and all the kingdoms, all the power is mine, and I give it to whomsoever I will. And tempted Jesus, you know, throw yourself down, I'll give you all this power. If it wasn't true, Jesus would have said, oh, you're full of baloney. It's not yours. But Jesus didn't say that. He just simply resisted the temptation. But it was actually true. But with Christ's paying our penalty for sin, God being satisfied with judgment upon Jesus, 3 days in hell, judgment being satisfied, Christ being resurrected from the grave, He took back the authority that Adam lost to Satan and returned it, and you can see this in the New Testament, returned it to the believers. Amen. All authority on heaven and earth has been given me. Go ye therefore into all the world. Go, you go, authorized. I got the authority back, therefore you go. It's a transfer of authority back to us. So God did and still needs cooperation of men to release His power on the earth. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Just think for a second, and you could think of many more, but the Red Sea parting, well, that's a miracle in nature, but it required God's people to cooperate, at least one. What did God say to Moses? Stretch out your staff. Like that, right? So a man had to believe. A man had to act. So the Red Sea parting. The Jericho walls falling down. If God wanted them down, why didn't He just knock them down? No, He had to get people to believe His word and act on it. What'd they do? March 7 days. On the seventh day, march 7 times. Blow trumpets. Right? David and Goliath. Maybe that's a little less impossible than walls coming down, but still. David believed God and spoke what he believed and ran to that battle. And the little shepherd boy killed the giant. Yeah. Daniel and the lions. 3 Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us. is what they said. So go ahead and throw us in. Our God will deliver us. So God can intervene in the impossible if he finds someone to partner with him. This tells me right away, there are things that God wants to do in my life and in your life that seem impossible or would be impossible, but he can do them. Amen. With you. Amen. But not without you. Mm-hmm. Well, God, if you're going to do it, just do it. I've heard people say that. Well, if God's going to save me, you know, he just have to save me. Doesn't work like that. It requires cooperation. If God's going to heal me, well, he's just going to heal me. Doesn't work like that. If God's going to give me, you know, this or that or whatever, well, then he'll just give it. If God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Doesn't work like that. God wanted his son born into the earth. Well, if he wanted his son born into the earth and Mary was a good candidate, why didn't he just go kaboom? He needed her agreement and her faith and needed her to speak. He needed a partner, an agreement. That tells me there are great things he'd like to do. And if I would dare partner with him and believe it and receive it in here and say it, what could he do if I would hook up with him? Amen. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Let's go to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. You know, with the passing of time, discouragement can set in. You've heard people, I have too. Well, when I was young, I thought I would, you know, and then they might tell you what their dream was or what maybe they thought God would bring them to this or that or whatever it might be. But the years have gone by. It's been difficult. It hasn't come to pass. Discouragement, and then you start hearing things like, well, I guess it wasn't meant to be, or, you know, lots of different things could be said or thought or whatever it might be. It wasn't God that gave up. It wasn't the Lord that decided or changed his mind. It's we have to stay on those things, continue to believe. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, the scenario here is a father comes with a son who a spirit is in him. Jesus calls it a deaf, dumb spirit. And the father says the spirit has thrown him in the water and tried to drown him. The spirit has thrown him in the fire and tried to burn him. And this father is seeking healing, deliverance for his son. At a point in the conversation, we're not going to go through all the scriptures there, but the father basically says, if you can do anything, would you help us? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. In other words, throwing it over onto Jesus. Hey, we're here. We need help. And if you can do something, do it. So the father attempts to put all responsibility on Jesus. And Jesus responds to that. And here we are in verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, this is the same concept said a different way. All things are possible. I can remember, don't know exactly when, but there was a phase where I was going through, you know, answering everything, all things. All things. Somebody tell you bad news, all things. That's just how I would answer trouble. That's how I would answer. Well, if it's going to happen, would have happened by now. All things. Amen. And whoever I was talking to, if they knew this scripture, they knew what I was referring to. All things are possible to him who believes. And so when you answer a thing or a person that way, you're reminding them, it is possible if we believe. So I'm telling them and telling me, get back into believing. Amen. Get back to believing. All things are possible to him who believes. Boy, there's another one. When you get up in the morning, go to your quiet place, just say that a while. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. years ago when Brother Hagin had his radio program, that's how the program opened with that song. And it's really old-fashioned, and I don't want to mess it up singing it because I'll sound terrible. But for with God, nothing shall be impossible. For it's not possible to be impossible. That's how the second line went. Yeah, all things are possible to him who believes. So Jesus says all things are possible, but there is a condition placed upon it. I don't remember whose book, but somebody wrote a whole book on the biggest word in the Bible, if. It was a mini book, you know, not a real big book, but that was the whole subject of the whole book. How many times do you see if? All the promises of God. There's so many of them. God will always love you no matter what, but every other promise is conditional. His love is unconditional. But all of his promises are conditional, amen, including just being saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a condition. Call on the name of the Lord. Or Romans 10, if you shall confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, that God has raised Christ from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, there's conditions. So here, there's conditions. In Luke, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. So Jesus transfers that responsibility that's not his right back on that Father. It's not a question of can I? I can. God would answer, oh, I can do this. Oh, yes, if you can believe. And the Father realizing, uh-oh, it's my responsibility. I believe. That's why I came. That's why I brought him to you. But apparently I'm coming up short just a little bit. So in desperation, you know what he cries out. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Okay, anybody been there? Oh, I have been there. I have been there. I have gotten to a point where I know the problem's me. The problem's not you, God, and it's not your promise. The problem is me. I know the problem's me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. I've said that same thing to the Lord. So all things are possible to him who believes. So we have to believe. That's the same thing with God, partnership. Believing is joining in partnership to God. With God, not God alone and not you alone. You're not going to get it done without him. He's not going to get it done without you. Amen. It's partnership. So first, you have to get with God. We have to move where we are to get with God. God's not moving to where we are to get with us. He may say, hey, numbskull, come on this way. Come on over here. Get over here. Get hooked up with me. Come on over in this direction, and we can get with God. Move from the stance we have or what we believe or stubbornness or whatever it might be. Come on, get over here. So that's the first step, is get with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Brother Hagin used to teach all the time, faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, if you're going to believe all things are possible to him who believes, you're going to have to know the will of God. What's the will of God? What does God want? So if you're going to get with God, you're going to connect up with what he wants. No, I want him to come on over here to what I want. Does it work like that? No, does not work like that. He is not obligated outside of his will. Now, he has moved outside of his perfect will for people's requests. For instance, he told Israel, you don't need a king like the other nations. This is before they had a king. He says, I am your king, and I am your shepherd. But they insisted and persisted, and he warned them, if you have a king, he's going to make your taxes too high. He's going to take your sons into battle. And he's going to take your property, right? So he said, don't do that. But they insisted, no, but we will have a king, God. And so Father said, okay. And the first king was Saul. And it didn't go so well for them, right? So there are times where God will allow something that's not perfectly what he wants because a man is persistent that way. It's kind of like, okay, I'll do what you say, but you're going to see it's not what you think. It would be better to line up perfectly with him. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So to get with God, find out what his will is. What does he want? Well, God works in mysterious ways, and who can find out? You can find out. Amen. All through the New Testament talks about he has shown his will. If you can see it in a scripture, see what he wants, you got it. There it is. You could seek him in prayer individually on something that you might not find written and learn things like the Lord's leading you to live in this neighborhood, in this house. Oh, would that be impossible? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He, if you start finding out what he has for you, will probably lead you out past what you can believe and have to work with you to get you to believe his word. So find out the will of God. If you need to spend time in prayer, do it. So first, you must be with God. Second, God must be with you. How does God get with you? God responds to faith. I heard somebody say this, a minister, probably was Brother Hagin. This one said, God will pass over 1,000 people to get to a man of faith. A lot of people ask God to do something, just like the father asked Jesus, hey, can you heal him? Hey, can you heal him? And Jesus corrected his thinking and said, I can you believe? So how many untold thousands, millions, whatever people are saying, God, can you do something? God, would you do something? God, would you do something? God, can you do something? And he would answer back, can you believe? Can you believe? Can you believe? Because if we can believe, the partnership comes together. But if we think it's all God and asking him to do something, God, do something, the partnership is not established, then it's not with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hebrews 11:6, what does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God is not pleased. The partnership's not established. It's not working without faith. And when that partnership of faith, when one believes the word, he's pleased and he can invade that situation and launch his supernatural power at work in it. Without faith, he can't. Even if he wants to. Even if he wants to. Faith moves the power of God in your direction. Oh, God can do anything. God can do this. Yeah, God can do this. Well, let's get faith operating so that power can move. Yes, we'll agree he can do it. The question is, will he? Well, I believe he will. If I believe, then the power starts to move. But it doesn't move with, yeah, he can. You can do this, God. You can do this. I'm asking you, do this, God. That doesn't trigger it. It doesn't work like that. Faith moves the power of God in your direction. All of us will quickly say, God can do the impossible. But can he do the impossible with you? Oh, man. God could, in a moment, just turn this around. Yeah, could he do it with you? Could you be the one? And that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute. Why me? Why not somebody else? I mean, I understand God could do that with Billy Graham. God could do that with Joel Osteen. God could do that with Jesse Duplantis. But could he do that with me? Ah. Oh yeah, I believe God can do the impossible. Do you believe he can do it with you? Amen. That's the rub. That's the rub. You want to pull your toes back because I'm about to step on them a little bit. Our lives are the true revealer of what we believe. If something that we would say is the will of God for our lives does not happen in our lives, it reveals we haven't believed. Is there anything that's a lifelong dream, or maybe while you're young, you believe God was going to take you to this or that, or you still are thinking, well, God, you know, someday and all of that. Can God make you a millionaire? Do you believe? Now that's another level. That's another thing. And there may be steps to take and things to do. Amen. Now, actually, I might have shot too high with that one, because that's one of those that's everybody just loves to answer yes, make you a millionaire, right? And I don't know what example I could give. The promises of the word is that he would make you rich, make you wealthy. That's not necessarily a million, because it could be a billion. Yeah. I guess I'm not going to really come up with an example. Only you could know what maybe you got a glimmer of in your heart at some point in time, and you got a slight imagining vision of it, and you saw maybe you could do this, and then you thought, oh, that's just too far out there, that's just too big, and you fell back. And it, with God, is possible, but it still seems a little too far out of reach, and you just, but I don't want to get myself disappointed. Every one of us has things in our lives that God has intended by now to have accomplished. The problem's not him. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know me and airplanes, right? I'm going to have that airplane. I'd have to admit the problem is me, not God. I'm back to studying a little bit and preparing to do my instrument rating. You got to do your diligence. You know, when everybody, oh yeah, I'm millionaire. There may be things you need to do to prepare to be a millionaire. And it's not sitting on the couch and waiting for a FedEx envelope to show up. It could be a lot of hard work and training. And you may think God will make you a millionaire by sending you a check in the mailbox, and God may make you a millionaire by launching a company and you're working 80 hours a week marketing a new idea. Amen. It's a step by step. If you believed, you'd take a step. And if you believed, you'd take a step. Oh, I believe. We'd see steps being taken if you believed. If I believed, right? I'll have to admit to you all again, you know, I have this airplane fund, and I have seen money comes to me for that endeavor while I'm flying and moving forward. As soon as I say, well, okay, I got to stop spending money. Flying is expensive. Let me just pull back here a little bit and accumulate the money. That's when it stops flowing. It's like it only comes when I'm pouring it out. So it's time to spend some money on flying an airplane again, right? Amen. Doing some flying. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. First airplane I want to buy will be about $50,000. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What's the second one? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So our lives are the revealer of how we have actually limited God. Now that should be a little uncomfortable to us, but it should maybe light a fire under our pants and get us up and going. Maybe that as well. With God, it's not impossible. I have these debts. With God, it's not impossible. I want to be debt-free, mortgage too. With God, it's not impossible. Amen. I need equipment. With God, it's nothing's impossible. I need working capital. With God, nothing is impossible. Remember the father who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Unbelief is preventing your impossible from being accomplished. If something's not accomplished, the cause is unbelief. Oh, Pastor Dan, you're hurting me. I'm hurting me. Remember, I come here and preach to myself and y'all just get to listen. Something very interesting. Go to Hebrews 11:11. I'm going to show you how this is true. Remember, Abram, had the promise of a son and that he would have many descendants by his own natural born son. And we know that he waited on that promise of God 25, 30 years, something like that, until he's over 100, his wife is over 90, and they're past childbearing age, and they haven't had their own son, and they say, well, let's do this. You go over here with the servant girl, and she can have a son, and we'll call that our son. And God says, that's not the son. You're going to have your own natural son. Well, that's the promise. Well, Abraham, we see two or three times in visits with God, is strengthened and he maintains believing. His faith has to be shored up, renewed, and so on. But when it came to this promise of God, it would be a child through Abraham and Sarah. It took two believing for the promise to come to pass. Married couples, in some promises of God, it takes two. In some, it takes two. So here, all these years, what was the delay? Now, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just reporting what I see in the scriptures. I think the delay was Sarah. Now, we have verse 11, Hebrews 11:11. By faith, see, you have to believe the impossible, right? By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, and I'm so glad this is in there to tell us, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The delay was her judging him faithful. She was aware of the promise. She knew of the promise, but it took her 30 years to judge him faithful. Amen. And when she finally says, you know what? He's faithful. I believe what he says. And when she says, I believe what he says, judged him faithful, she receives strength to conceive. The impossibility was waiting on her. Now, I'm not picking on male versus female or anything like that. This is just married couple, and one of them was a holdup. Both, I'm sure, for a while, but I think it came down to her coming along after Abraham in terms of believing the promise. Sarah could not have her impossible until she judged him faithful. The truth is that for us, that every impossibility that I face, I'm judging God. At the thought of God proposing to you, whether by seeing it written in the scriptures, whether him bearing witness in your heart, maybe speaking in your heart in prayer time, seeing it with your heart, when you see that impossibility and you know you couldn't do it without God, what happens next is you judge God. I judge God. We judge God. We either say, he's faithful, and if he says I can do that, I can do that. That judges him faithful. Or, on the other hand, God is saying we could do this. I don't see how. even if you don't say it to anybody, or you even if you don't say it out loud, when you can't see how on the inside, you're not moving with faith to receive it, and the power doesn't start coming in the direction of that impossibility. Isn't that something? So if there's an impossibility that God proposed to make possible in my life or in your life, and if it hasn't happened, now I understand God has timing for certain things, but we often throw it over on the timing of God when that's not what it is. It's waiting for us to believe, to judge him faithful. So we judge God. Well, I don't judge God. Yeah, if you hear his promise to you, and you go, you judged him. I can know what his will is, and I can say what his will is. Oh, I believe he wants this for my life. Oh, I believe he wants an airplane in my life. In fact, he's told me there's going to be things that he wants me to do in the future that I'm going to need an airplane for. I'm going to need to be able to get up from here and be over there in 2 or 3 hours. But just knowing the will of God and even hearing his promise and not acting in faith or moving in that direction won't bring it to pass. It will remain an impossibility. I can know his will and say so, but he can't move until I judge him faithful. Now get this, judge him faithful to his promise to me. As we read through the scriptures, we see promises of God to us, right? With long life will I satisfy you. There's a promise of God. It's in the scripture. I have to judge him faithful to that promise to give me long life, but I have to judge him faithful not for somebody else, but to me. It has to become mine. Oh, it's easy for me to believe that God has blessed Brother Jesse Duplantis or Kenneth Copeland or Keith Moore, these different ones, with prosperity. Oh, that's he. Oh, yeah, yeah. God blesses brothers and the sisters. But that promise has to become mine. Until I judge him faithful to his promise to me, I'm not there yet. I have to own it. It has to be mine, mine, mine. You have to be able to read a scripture, a promise of God, and say, God said to me that he would give me long life and satisfy me. Amen. Well, he didn't say it to you. It's just written there in the Bible. Oh, no, you're mistaken. When he said that to David or whichever psalmist wrote that, and he wrote it down, God had me in mind when he was saying that, and he spoke that for my benefit, and that in the scriptures is mine. That is his word to me. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. That's mine. That's mine. And until you own it, you're not there yet and not partnered with him. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's easy with something else or someone else, but real when it's me. Oh, just believe God. He can heal you of cancer or anything. But then when it's you, and a doctor's given you a scary diagnosis, oh, what about it now? Come on, let's pray. God can heal anything. Oh, that's nothing for God. But when it's you, trembling, shaking, do you think God would heal me? It's a different ballgame, isn't it? When it's you. So you have to make those promises yours. And if you have to, go over it and go over it and read it and say it and say it and say it and say it and go over it and take it and say it's mine 10,000 times. And one of those times you'll all of a sudden go, oh, it's mine. You know what? It's mine. And you realize can't nobody take it from you. It's yours. You own it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm hooking up with him. He's hooking up with me. The two of us together, nothing shall be impossible. If God's got an idea, and he's got some ideas, he's not scared of big things. Big things scare me, don't scare him. I think I'm just going to cuddle up close, grab his arm, and just say, look out, world, here we come. Have you noticed that about little children? They may be afraid to step into a room or something like that, unsure. But if you'll grab their hand, and if you'll go in, they go in with you. Right? Amen. Just do that. Amen. God, this ain't no thing for you. You said you would take care of us in a thing like this. I believe you will. I'm just going to hook up with you. And if you say we can, then we can. Come on, God, you just lead me in and I'll just stay with you. And then you can be, hey, look at everybody who I'm with. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Some of us in our church, we need houses sold. Some of us in our church, we need jobs or different jobs. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Some of us are due raises, extra income. Why do I say due? Are they giving raises at work? No. I'm thinking of how he thinks. Abundance, prosperity, been faithful, serving the Lord. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It takes a bit of courage to open your heart to listen for, hey, God, what you got in mind? Because he may tell you something. And it may be, whoo! How are we going to do that? That's what Mary asked. And the answer was, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The answer is, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Yeah? And with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's his answer to us. Amen. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And then what's the response? Be it unto me according to your word. Amen. Be it unto me according to your word. Amen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging me and we to stir ourselves up again. For with you, nothing shall be impossible. And it's the easiest thing in the world to do, just hook up with God. Seems hard, but it's not hard. It's easy. We find your word faithful. We find what you say faithful, and we judge you faithful. So we'll just hook up and see the impossible come to pass. We've seen it plenty of times before. We can see it plenty of times again and even more. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.